Morning.
Morning.
Well, last week, as a recap, we went over the dangers of familiarity, being too familiar with the ways of God and with God Himself. I said that it's okay and it's a good thing to be familiar with His ways. You want to know His ways, obviously. You want to know His Word. But not to the point where it steals away the wonder of our hearts, the wonder of everything He is and what He's done for us. That is where the danger begins, because then it becomes habit, and you don't get excited anymore about the things that God has done for you. And it's very easy to fall into this. We read Mark 6. We talked about Jesus being a prophet without honor, that He went to His hometown, and the people said, "Isn't this Mary's boy? Don't we know His brothers and His sisters? We saw Him when He was a baby. We knew how He was raised." And the Scripture says that they took offense at Him just because of that, just because they knew Him since He was young. And He didn't say anything to them negatively. In fact, He was there trying to help them. He wanted to perform miracles. He wanted to teach them the Word of God. And He didn't even get a chance to start before they were offended. Just because they knew Him from a young age. They said, "Who is this man with wisdom and authority?" And it sounds like they're honoring that, but I think they were more saying, like, "Who does he think he is?" We've all probably done this before to people. I know I have. I'm like, "Who does this guy think he is?" I talked about how I've missed out on many blessings because I wasn't able to find God in somebody because I knew them too well. I was too familiar with them. And that's really the crux of that whole message to me, is how many times have we missed out because we were just too familiar with people or with God Himself? And that's, you're in special danger of that during these holidays, you know, because we just do it every year. And, of course, the culture's really involved. It's kind of this weird mixture of God and, you know, the culture. And so we just get into it and kind of do the same old things. And you can go through the whole season and not even think about the gift of Jesus Christ. I've done it. And so we don't want to do that. So that's what we spoke about last week. But I was thinking, you know, they missed out on miracles that could have been done. He said he wanted to do it, but he couldn't do them in that town because they didn't have any faith due to familiarity. I was thinking again about how, can you imagine having the Son of God in your midst, looking at Him eye to eye, and because you knew Him since He was a kid, you just didn't receive anything from Him? And then it hit me again. Well, we still do that today. He's literally with us right now. How many of you know that He's with us right now? And we still leave here sometimes and just say, "Well, He's not really here for me," or "He's not going to do that for me." We have to be careful not to become too familiar with the ways of God. Today, I want to talk to you. The title of my sermon is "Christ Lived for Us." Christ lived for us. Say that with me. Christ lived for us. Last week, during my sermon, I read Isaiah 9:6, the famous verse that says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given." Unto us. He lived for us. God gave Him to us. John 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And I'll add, for us. He gave Him for us. He lived for us. Oftentimes, we talk a lot about how Christ died for us, but not as often do we talk about how He lived for us. That God breathed life into Him and sent Him into the world in a body, for us. Before His birth on earth, He was the Son of God in heaven. And I imagine it looking something like this, where God looked down and saw all his people that he had created, his wonderful creation, and said, the law's not cutting it. They can't do the things they need to do to be with me. I need a perfect lamb. I need a perfect sacrifice. An end sacrifice. One that will never have to do it again. And Christ said, may I go. I feel like we know this because in Hebrews 10:5, which is one of our scriptures today, we'll go ahead and read. Let's turn to Hebrews 10:5. Hebrews 10:5. The scripture says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. So I think all that took place in heaven. I think that Christ offered himself up to come and to live for us. So he not only died for us, he lived for us. He set aside his divinity and his eternal sovereignty in nature to come and be with us. We'll never understand that. How could we ever understand? But I can only imagine that once you're in heaven, you probably don't ever want to come back. And he was in heaven with him. He had experienced everything that we are going to experience when we die. And that is, he gets to see God face to face. And he offered himself to come to earth to be with us. All because his Father was not pleased with sacrifice and offerings anymore. And he said, all right, I'll do it. And God sent him to us. He lived for us. And he came as a little baby. A little baby boy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine inside of that little baby what was in him? All of humankind, all of mankind's hopes and dreams and vision of all of their salvation wrapped up in this vulnerable little tiny baby that if you just accidentally dropped, it's amazing. It's amazing that God chose this path for him to come. And he gave him to a young girl named Mary and her husband Joseph. And he trusted them to take care of this child that had everything hanging in the balance. Everything that we know to be good in our lives was wrapped up in that little baby right there. And that's the way that God sent him into the world. He grew up just like us. He was just like us. You need to understand this. We say it all the time, but God was 100% human and 100% God at the same time. So when he was a little boy and a baby, he did all the things that we did. He grew up just like us. He had thoughts just like us. He laughed just like us. He cried just like us. He ate and drank just like us. He loved his mama just like us. He was tempted just like us, Scripture says, in every way. He learned like us. Scripture said that he learned obedience through suffering, just like us. He learned the ways of God and he lived them out for us. And then he turned around and taught us how to do it. That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm always amazed at the fact that he didn't come as this warrior king. Does that not amaze you? Listen, Lee says I'm a big nerd, but I like the new Doom movies. The new Doom movies. Anybody familiar with the new Doom movies? Yes. Thank you, wife. Thank you, son. Sam, thank you. I love him, you know, and the main character in there is Paul Moadib, and he is the messianic character, and he comes as a warrior. You know, he doesn't know he's a warrior when he's young, but then he grows up, and he's got all these special powers, and he basically takes everything by force, you know. That's not the way Christ did it. That's not the way he did it. It's not the way that God wanted him to do it. It occurred to me when I was thinking about this that if he did that, we would all kind of be left behind. He couldn't be our template, could he? We couldn't follow that. How many people are going to be Superman, you know? We couldn't have done what he did if that was the way that he was going to be. He came lowly. He came just like us. The scripture says clearly there was nothing about him that was different than any of us. They said there was nothing, even when you saw him. There was nothing about him. He wasn't super handsome. He wasn't ugly. He was just a guy. Teaching us that it's not on the outside that matters at all. It's what the heart is. But he came and he was just like us in every way. He overcame sin while he lived unlike us. And he became our template. I don't believe he ever broke his humanity. I don't believe that Christ ever utilized his eternal nature to overcome the things that he overcame and to live the life that he lived. I could be wrong, and y'all can challenge me on this, but I just don't think he ever drew upon his godlike nature. I think that in order for him to be our template, he had to go through the things we went through as a human. And if he ever, for once, reached out and said, God, I know they can't do it, but will you help me? He couldn't be our template anymore, could he? Because we can't follow that. Everything he did it in such a way that we can walk in his footsteps and become like him. The difference between him and us is he had no sin in his life, so there was no hindrance between him and God. He used the Holy Spirit in such a way, or the Holy Spirit indwelled in him in such a way that there was no hindrance between him and God at all. But how many of you know you can do that too? We could do that if we could just lay down all of our sin. But he walks in this earth as a human. He said one time, he said, you know, I could call 10,000 angels, but I don't, I'm not. That's very important. It's very important. It should be very important to you because it means that he was like you. And it means that he understands you because he was like you. I want to turn to Hebrews 4. Just go back a few pages. Let's go to Hebrews 4:14. 4:14, Jesus the great high priest. Because he was like us, he understands us. The scripture says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, listen to this carefully, it says, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's one of my favorite scriptures. I love how clear it is that he was tempted in every way, just like we were. Just like we were. He understands us. How important is that to you, that he understands you? How important is it to know someone who understands you? I love this. I love that he can understand me. I was thinking, I told Lee this the other day, or maybe I told Wyatt, I can't remember, but I said, there's only a few people in your life. There will only ever probably be two or three people in your life that truly understand you. That you don't have to preface your words with anything, or you don't have to try to make it sound better or worse, that they just totally get you on the very first time. I told Lee, I said, when I get up here and preach, and she tells me I do a good job, it's kind of hard to receive, because she is me, you know, and she knows me so well, she understands me. It's one of the greatest gifts I have in this life, is to have my wife that understands me and knows me. Well, Christ understands me and knows me. The reason Lee knows me so well is because we've been through a lot of things together. And that's what I'm trying to say about Christ, is that he went through everything so that he could understand you and know you. I love that it said he went through the heavens. The scripture says at the very beginning there, it says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavens. That's important because he understands us, but because he came from heaven, he also understands the Father. He understands the ways of heaven. That's so important. He knows what's important for us to do here because he's been there. And he told us that many times in the scripture. He said, no one has seen the Father but me. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you guys how to live. No one has seen him but me. I've been there and I understand how it all works. I was thinking about when I was coaching Little League Baseball, and you know, the boys are little and you're trying to teach them all these ways to hit. And then you'll have every dad that's on your team trying to teach them also how to hit. And everybody's got an idea on how to play the game of baseball to get you to that next level. But I remember one day Roy Oswalt came in and he started teaching the boys how to pitch and play the game of baseball. And he was talking to some of the dads and telling them kind of the things that they needed to do with their kids to get them to that next level. And how many of you know, you listen to that guy way more than you do the dads on the team. And the reason being is because he's been where you want to go, right? He understands how the whole MLB works. He was a Hall of Famer. He's been there for 15 years. He was in the MLB for 15 years. So he's come already from where we're trying to go. If you're a fool, if you don't listen to him, and at least some of the things that he was saying. And how many of you know they were a lot different than what I was saying and what the dads were saying too. Christ has gone through the heavens. He knows exactly what we need to do, how we need to walk up through our lives. He did it as a template for us and he taught us how to do it. What a blessing. I love people that understand me, who have been where I've been, who have felt what I've felt. That's a blessing when it's a person, much, much more when it's Christ. I was thinking also about when I first started my heating and air business and I was struggling and things were hard and it was hot in the attics and man, there's only one person I could think to call and that was my old boss. There's just nothing like it, you know. I mean, you can talk to somebody who's been with you and beyond, and beyond. And I would call him up and try to get him to comfort me. It's good to have people that understand you and that have been where you've been. Christ is that and more for us. He came and lived for us. And became like us in every way so that he could understand us and become our template of the way we're supposed to live. And he can show us the way. In fact, he is the way. And it all started when he was a little baby boy on Christmas Day. Please remember this season that Christ not only died for you, but he lived for you in every way. He had the chance to not. He could have walked away at any time. He could have called upon his eternal nature at any time. And he chose not to. He wanted to live the life that we lived so that he could relate to us and show us to the Father. And he understands you and he loves you. We can take the same path as our Lord, and try to understand someone else and become like him. Try to understand the people that you're with, especially in the body of Christ. This kind of goes back to the familiarity thing a little bit, but I want more people to understand me and know me. Another way you can do that is to try to get to know somebody. See him in the Spirit. Well, I've got some more, but I'm going to leave it here today. I just want to tell you guys Merry Christmas. And I love you guys. Why don't y'all stand up and I'll pray for you. And we'll call it. Father God, we thank you so much that you sent your Son to live on this earth, to be mistreated, to be maligned, and he still was willing to come, knowing what was in store for him. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be moved this season when we wake up on Christmas morning with all the gifts, that we'll put you first that day, Lord, and remember you and give you thanks that you deserve. And I pray that you help us also, Father, not to just live for ourselves, but to live for other people too. Like you lived for us and laid your life down for us, Lord, I pray that you help us do that for one another. Pray that you bless your people and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.